Brother Carl Hayes is going to come bring the study this in this hour. We call it words without wisdom, because it's words of wisdom that that Paul's committed to us, and we're have the privilege of keeping. And the wonderful form of the sound words that we have, unfortunately, are lost in the new versions. But thank God they're preserved in our Bible. So Brother Carl's going to come and teach us about that.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here today. Great to see everybody. We sure appreciate all the work that everybody does to make something like this possible. So again, it's just great to be here, and glad you're here, and we have a good study this morning, as we always do. My message this morning is Words Without Wisdom. And my assignment is to be a study of the impact of the modern versions on the grace message. And specifically, that's in the area of lordship salvation. It's what I was asked to speak about. The issue of lordship salvation, how the modern versions attack the grace message through lordship salvation. And also the faith of Christ. I'm to address that, the faith of Christ. And then finally, on the third thing, we're going to look at how the King James Version establishes the proper pattern for edification. So those are kind of the three things we're going to be looking at this morning. And probably the bulk of what we're going to be talking about is in the area of lordship salvation. Because if I know anything over my experience for the last 30 years, it's the creeping in of works that our different denominations are requiring for salvation. And anytime we have a situation where works are creeping in for salvation, then that's going to nullify God's grace. So that's very, very important that we're careful about that. Because you see that with many departings from the grace message, you see in a lot of different areas, what's happening is some of that lordship salvation is creeping in. So that's the things that we want to guard against. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that all wisdom comes through your word, and we're thankful for that. We're grateful for that. And we pray, Lord, that we're to be ever so careful to guard against the creeping in of anything that doesn't include your wisdom. In Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen. Now my text verse, if you'll turn with me to Job chapter 38 verse 2, is where we want to get started there. Job 38 verse 2. And we read, and it says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And that's the situation that we're in the situation with all the different Bible versions. It's the words that have been changed, deleted, and we wind up with no knowledge resulting in no wisdom from God. And that's the situation. So that's what we're going to look at today. And when God's word is altered, we lose that wisdom. Wisdom is the action taken once you have the knowledge from God's word. You take the knowledge in, and you make the decisions making. It's the action taken is the wisdom. And that's what we all need. Now, if you look at back at Job chapter 16, verse 1, Job chapter 16, verse 1, Job says this, "Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all?" You know, that's kind of interesting. He's getting all this advice from all these folks, but the word of God is not there. It's kind of like going to the beauty shop or the barber shop, and you're getting your advice there, and there's no wisdom involved in it. Miserable comforters. He's not getting any of God's word involved in that. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. And anytime you're doing anything without the word of God, there's no wisdom in it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Let me get there. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You'll notice there's three things mentioned in that verse. There's knowledge that the Lord gives from the word of God. There's understanding of that knowledge, which is by the Holy Spirit. And then the result of that is wisdom. That's very Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I want to make another point here about the issue of wisdom. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Anytime the modern versions change the Word of God and we don't have the Word of God, we lose the knowledge. We lose the wisdom. Without the knowledge, there's no wisdom. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And I want you to watch the sequence in this passage. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So you see the sequence down through the passage there. It's very, very interesting. And you don't want to miss that. And the first thing in the passage is knowledge. That's information from God's Word. And the second thing that does, that gives us the ability to make judgments. And those judgments aren't just good judgments, but they're to be the better and the best judgment. The excellent judgment. And that all comes from the Word of God. We're then equipped to make excellent decisions in our ministry and in our lives. And the result of all of that are fruits of righteousness. That's how it's all by Jesus Christ. And that's very, very important. And to change the words stops God's process from taking place. That's a very important passage there for me and to you. To see how that takes place down through there. And how the fruits of righteousness takes place. And it's in that process. And that's a very interesting verse. Okay? It's not the flesh striving to do something. It's not you and I just working and working and working. But it's by Jesus Christ. And it's that process that's in that verse there in Philippians. Okay? It's the natural outworking of Christ in you. Having that information from God's Word in you, and then it just comes out. It's just a natural working. And you don't have to strive or work to do that. It just. I was talking to my grandson here. He was here over the weekend, and he was talking about taking the grace school of the Bible. And he was talking about how you preach and how you get the information. And I said, son, I said, it's just a natural outworking of the Word of God. Once it gets in you, it just comes out. And it's by Jesus Christ. There's no work involved in on your part. Once you get that information in you from God's Word rightly divided, it's just going to naturally come out. You're not going to want to keep it in. And that's how it works. And he said, well, that makes sense. So turn with me, if you will, and in regards to Lordship salvation, we're going to move on to that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and we'll want to look at that. That's one of our verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's one of the main verses that our Lordship salvation proponents, they use that verse and they try to say that in order to be saved, you have to make works a part of your life. You have to make the Lord 100% part of your life in the works that you perform. It's a 100% thing that you have to do. And it has to go alongside your salvation. You can't have one without the other. Okay? You can't have one without the other. Now, what that verse really does, it's you and I admitting and knowing who Jesus Christ is. Well, who is Jesus Christ? He's Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the virgin-born Son of God. That's who the Lord is. And when we read that verse, that's all that verse is saying in regards to that title. It's a title, and it's a recognition of who Jesus Christ is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nothing more than that in that particular part of it. But they try to make it be something else that it isn't. Okay? They try to make it be something where you have to make it a work, where you continually working and persevering and serving the Lord, and if you don't, then you lose your salvation. But as you and I know, works do what? They come after salvation. Works are something that should, and that's a big important word, should come after salvation. Okay? And of course, Lordship salvation comes in all kinds of versions and different types of things that they require. And most of all of them, I shouldn't say most, all of them either state or imply at least that belief in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough. Okay? They at least state that, or they imply that the finished work of Christ is not enough. And that's bad news. That means that there's something else that you and I have to do in addition to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's very dangerous. That's real dangerous. See, Romans 10:9 is not saying that to be saved, we have to totally surrender every detail of our life to the Lord. That's not what Romans 10:9 is saying. It's merely an acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. Who all in here have surrendered every detail of your life to the Lord? See, that's a dangerous doctrine. And that makes it a situation where if somebody doesn't know any better, I'm just going to give. There ain't no way I can do that. I can't do every detail of my life. And you're right, you can. See? All that does is, Romans 10:9 there, that title, it teaches that true believers have a unique understanding of who Jesus Christ is that an unbeliever doesn't. We know that he's God manifest in the flesh. That's what that title does, and that's what the title tells us. Turn into Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You see the end of that verse? To everyone that believeth. Believeth what? The cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter. And you know, in time past, righteousness was obtained a different way, wasn't it? It wasn't obtained in time past by believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross at Calvary by simply believing that. Righteousness was obtained in time past by doing some works. Right. Well, what Lordship salvation is doing, it's going back to the Gospels, it's going back to the Old Testament, or it's going forward into the Jewish epistles and bringing in works and requiring them for salvation. And it's dangerous. And it's scary. But that's what's going on. But if you look back in Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you can see that. I can't hardly talk and look up the verse at the same time. I can only do one or the other. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness," can you see that? "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." You see the difference in the righteousness? How righteousness is obtained in the dispensation of grace and how righteousness was obtained in time past. Lordship salvation is nothing more than a mixture, either a mixture of grace and law, or trying to put people back under the law, requiring doing some things and performing some things. And it doesn't work. And it doesn't work. It nullifies God's grace. Okay? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, and you see the same thing. And you recognize that in many departings from the grace message. And they try to get, people try to get more religious. People try to get more religious. I've seen that over the last 30 years. They want to get more religious, and they accomplish that, they think, by works. And preaching works required for salvation, or works required to maintain your salvation. Now, what do we know about that? Who maintains your salvation? Do you do it? Or someone else does it? Or is it by Jesus Christ? See, you're sealed to the day of redemption by Jesus Christ. And you can't change that wording. It has nothing to do with what you do or what you don't do. You get saved by believing the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation is maintained by God. You're sealed to the day of redemption. It's not according to your word. Or what you do or what you don't do, because our Lord Jesus Christ already took care of that for us. He took care of that for us. Okay? Where are we going? Second Chronicles? Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is the same thing, it's just we want to look there briefly. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, that's not what our plan of salvation is for today. Lordship salvation, most any religion, most any denomination wants to add a work to something that God already completed. And when they do that, they're going to nullify God's grace. Okay? Because God done all the work that's going to be accepted. Now, this issue of the title of the Lord. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, they deal with what? Israel's rejection of Christ. Israel did not know or did not admit or did not want to know who Jesus Christ was. What did they do with Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They slayed him. They killed him. They crucified and put him on the cross on the cross of Calvary. That's what Israel did. So when we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, that's merely an acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. Something Israel didn't know or denied. And they crucified him. That's the major difference there. And that's the issue in that title. It identifies who Jesus Christ is. See, Lordship salvation is an attempt to require total obedience. And that's impossible. Okay? As a matter of fact, the opposite is true in the lives of you and I today in the dispensation of grace. The opposite is true. We actually battle with sin in our lives. Don't we? We have a problem with sin in our life. Morris said it earlier. Sin's in your flesh. It's in your blood. So how do you get rid of sin? You get rid of your sin and you get rid of your flesh and you get rid of your blood. How do you do that? You kick the bucket is how you do that. Or you get raptured out of here and get a new body. Okay? But we have a battle with sin. And to teach and to preach and try to convince people that you have to live a godless life in order to be saved is trouble. Because they're going to realize that. That's one of the problems that I struggled with 30 years ago. I didn't know the issue of having to struggle with sin even after you're saved. I thought, good grief, once I'm saved, you don't have that problem anymore. Is that true?
No.
See? And people need to know that. They need to understand that. It's an issue that I dealt with, years and years and years ago, and it's still a struggle. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And we see here the inward struggle of the flesh and the spirit and the battle that you and I have in dealing with our flesh. Paul had that problem. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. See, that's a rebunk to Lordship salvation. That's a rebunk to the fact that you're going to have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ 100% air in every detail of your life. That can't be. That can't be. We sat here, and you have a thought you shouldn't have just sitting out there listening to this message. Whether this guy's too loud, whatever it is. Sin, we sin all the time. We shouldn't. And we should sin less as we're filled with the words of God. But not sinless perfection. It's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. Okay? Now, turn into Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Your life today is nothing more than the outworking of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we can't change those verses and make the faithfulness of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ to do what he said he would do, and make that our faith in Christ. There are two different issues. It's the faithfulness of Christ when he sealed me till the day of redemption. That's the faithfulness of Christ to do what he said he would do, and my faith to believe the cross work and believe that he's done that. Okay? The faith of Christ and faith in Christ are two different things. The faithfulness of Christ to do what he said he would do. The faithfulness of Christ to go to the cross at Calvary, willing to go there and to die and to hang on that cross and die and shed his blood to pay for my sins and yours. That was his faithfulness to do that. And he accomplished all the things that he accomplished, and he's faithful to do those things. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, there's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let this mind be in you. You take in the words down through the passage there. And it's his life living through you as you obey the things that God tells us to do. And we have the understanding there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3, 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, there's Christ in you. And then it's you, Christ living out of you when you're doing the work of the ministry. That's what I was trying to explain to my grandson there over the weekend. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, there's Christ in you. That's the faith of Christ living in you and then working out in the ministry in your everyday life as you're going about doing the things that we need to do. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise, watch this, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. So there's the faithfulness of Christ in the verse, And that's your faith and my faith in the latter part of that verse, in the believing. So you can't take out or change the faith of Christ as the newer versions do, because you lose everything that we need and everything that's there for us by taking that out. You can't do that. To require one iota of works for salvation nullifies God's grace. Do you believe that?
Amen.
To require one iota. To say, okay, I got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood, was resurrected on the third day, but then I have to do something, either before saved or after saved, is not true. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. These are all verses that you're all familiar with, but sometimes you and I need to be reminded, else things might begin to creep in our ministries. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, you see that? You see how clear the word of God is? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God's very, very clear in the area of works and what you see, God doesn't require any work from you in regards to any type of religious activity. Why? Why? Amen. Christ did all the work. Do you understand that? Christ performed all the work that he will accept on the cross of Calvary. That's important to remember that. Christ did all the work. When he died on that cross at Calvary, and he said, hey, you think you're going to do something to help you get saved? Then you don't believe that what I did on the cross at Calvary is enough. You see that? That's important. That's real important.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the... You see that right there? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, understand, that's not your faith there. That's by the faith of Jesus Christ. He said he's going to do something, and he's faithful to do it. But our faith is also in the verse. Okay? Even the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, it's upon all and to all and upon all them that believe and maintain good works in their life.
No.
No, what it says, is it? But see, you will be told that. If you're not careful, those types of things can creep in your ministry, and in what it's going to do, it'll discourage an unsaved person. You know why? Because an honest, unsaved person knows they can't do it. 100%. Okay? Because you can't. We've demonstrated that already. Okay? You see, God doesn't give believing faith to some people and not give it to others. There's no such thing as that. What does the verse say? Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto the ones that I give the believing faith to, and all the rest are going to go to hell. Is that what the verse says? No. It's available. It's even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus, it's unto all. It's available to everybody. But only certain people are going to get it. Who are they?
Those that believe.
You see that? Salvation is available to everybody, not certain people. God doesn't pick, go down through here, I'm going to give you faith, you don't get it. It don't work that way. But yet, that's what religion will tell you. That's just a dangerous old lie. And if you're ones that he don't give the faith to, you don't have a chance. See? He might give faith to the wife to believe and not to the husband. You see, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's contrary to, that's not what the Word of God says. That's a crazy, dangerous doctrine. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But yet it's out there. And quite popular, I might add. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we, everyone, have to walk in them, or we're not saved. You see that? But yet you'll be taught that. And then you get out there and you realize, man, I must not be, I've had those thoughts back 30 years ago. I must not be saved. And if I'd have finally read these verses or how these verses taught to me, I'd say, whew, what a relief that is. You know, and I'm sure many of you have experienced the same thing. Losing my place here. Another thing, see, we are His workmanship. That means He did all the work required for salvation. We are His workmanship, created what? Unto good works. You can't do any good works after you're saved. We're created, once we're saved, then we can begin to do some good works. Okay? After we're saved. We are His workmanship. He did all the work necessary for us. One more thing I want to say in that verse. That we should walk in them. Created unto good works, that we should walk in them. Does that mean that you have to walk in good works as proof text that you're saved?
No.
That's not what the word should mean, doesn't it? You know, you say to your kids, you should wash your face before you... whatever. That mean they're going to do it every time? You should brush your teeth. What does that mean? It's a good idea to do them. You're going to have probably less rotten teeth if you brush your teeth. He says, you should do good works. Because they're what? They're profitable to all men. Including yourself. Okay? 2 Corinthians, you see, good works follow salvation. That's important. You say, well, we are... That's important. Because everybody doesn't teach that. Good works, they don't go alongside or precede salvation. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. I've got to move here. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested where? In our body. See, that's the life of Jesus Christ. That's what godliness is. For the life of Jesus to be manifested through your mortal body. It's not working and working and working and trying to do all of your own. It's the life of Christ. That's what God has said. Coming up, working out. Okay? So that Lordship salvation is an attack on the gospel of grace. Okay? It says or implies that faith alone and finished work of Christ is not enough. And it's dangerous doctrine. It's dangerous doctrine. And all that comes from where? When you're going to require works for salvation, where do you have to go to get it? You have to go to the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Or the Jewish Epistles. James. Onward. Pardon me? Right. Okay? Titus, another verse here. Let me go to Romans chapter... Let me skip down through here. We're going to go on down through here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We'll just go there. Everybody knows these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. And this just sums it all up. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What's the it in that verse? That's crucial. That you know what the it is in that verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It, what's the gift of God in that verse?
Salvation.
See, it's salvation. The it in that verse is not faith. That's crucial. That's important because some of our friends will tell you that the gift in that verse is faith. And God gives that gift to some people and don't give it to other people. So it's crucial to understand what the it is in that verse. For it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and two good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? Now, the modern versions changed it all of that. The King James Version establishes the proper pattern for our edification. We've been over this a few times. And to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to get your information from there does what? It nullifies the grace of God. It changes it. We have a different program for you and I today. Okay? Now turn with me to Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. And we're going to look at, I guess if you will, part 3. I have three assignments. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. I think Morris read this, or had one of the men read this passage to you earlier. But we need to look at that again, of course. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him there is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Excuse me. Now let's read that in the reverse edition. I think Greg mentioned to you some time ago that when the Revised Standard Versions came out, I was just a little guy. But I remember it. I didn't understand anything about it. But I remember it because with my mother, it was such a big deal. And there was big fighting went on when that issue came out. Okay? Make no mistake about it. My mom, I was a teenager, my mom left the church when that thing came out, when that Revised Standard Version came out. There was a big battle against that. And it wasn't accepted nearly like it is today. Because people at that time, they knew what the Word of God said. And when something came out that was not the Word of God, they could identify it. It's not like the religious people today, where it just don't make any difference and anything goes. And they don't really know what the Word of God says anyway. They don't get in and compare verses like we do around here and see what they say. They don't do that. Now listen to what this says. The Revised Version says, now to him who is able to strengthen you. Does strengthen and establish mean the same thing?
No.
No way. As they would say, no way, Jose. They're two different words. To establish you is to build you up so that you know what your strengthen is, must make you stronger. But to be established requires the King James Version, and it requires rightly dividing the Word of God. But anyway, now to him that is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret for long ages. You see what happens there? It takes away a message that was kept secret since before the world began. And another message. They're two different messages. And that version takes that away. It takes it away. Okay? but is now disclosed and through the prophetic writings is made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about obedience. I mean, that thing is messed up. If you understand what the Word of God says, it's horrible. And it doesn't say the same thing. It's bad news. Now, let me just say one more thing. The book, we won't go to the verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The book of Romans, let's go there. We've got time for that. We need to do that. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. And Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." So that's what he's doing in the book of Romans, and he repeats that in Romans chapter 16. That I may be comforted together with you by, and here it is again, with the mutual faith, both of you and me. Okay? But the book of Romans is written to establish you, to get you established in the faith. And that, and it comes in three parts there. We learn there in, I've been struggling with a sore throat and a little bit of a cold, so if you can see that I'm struggling a little bit, that's why. I'm a little bit of a cold and sore throat, so anyway, I'm almost done. We're established in three different ways there in that passage. The first one is my gospel, and the second one is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And thirdly, by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So there's three issues there that were established by. My gospel emphasizes the dispensational changes, the distinctions that we have. My gospel emphasizes the plan of salvation, circumcision, uncircumcision, those types of things. My gospel emphasizes that Paul is our apostle. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am one of the apostles to...
No.
You see that? I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. And I magnify mine office. It's the office that he's magnifying, not himself, by the way. It's important to make those distinctions that God makes. Now, we'll contrast the fact that Paul's our apostle with Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. If there's anything in that passage, there's two gospels. There's the gospel of circumcision, and there's the gospel of the uncircumcision. And you're to be established. Paul established you in those truths. And that's the goal in that. And we contrast the apostle Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. Contrast that with Peter and the 11, who are the apostles to whom? Israel. Now, why do we need an apostle? Because there's a different information that's going to be revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. Okay? Paul's gospel deals with salvation through Christ's finished work on the cross. Did Peter teach that? Did the 11 teach that? No! Say no!
No!
They absolutely did not. But most of religion don't even know that. How dangerous that is. Don't even know that. Don't even know those things were kept secret since before the world began. And that's the issue of being kept secret since before. They didn't know anything about it. And it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul received that message. Not Peter, not the 11, not anybody before him. Consequently, nobody could have preached it until the Apostle Paul preached it. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that what? Well, what did he receive, and what's he preaching? How that Christ died for your sins. You see that? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he goes on down through the passage with some verification of that. That's different, folks. You don't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the stalwart for all of religion just about today. And it's not there. It's not there. Romans 9 through 11 teaches what? About the fall and the future of Israel. It teaches that a prophecy has been temporarily interrupted by the dispensation of grace. Okay? This new message committed to and through the Apostle Paul. And the prophetic program is going to be resumed when? After the rapture of the body of Christ. God's not all done with Israel yet. It's merely a postponement. Okay? Israel's program has been temporarily interrupted by the dispensation of grace to be resumed. And people just mix it all up. And it don't work. Okay? See, you and I today, we're to serve God how? By heart attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness. How did Israel in time past, how and why did Israel serve God? Out of what?
Fear.
Fear of what? Fear of the curses. See the difference? It's totally different. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, this is the unprophesied program that's in sharp contrast to that long prophesied program. Genesis through John. See, a prophesied program. It's different. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. And you need to see this. Some people may never seen this. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. There's a body of information spoken since the world began, and then there's another body of information kept secret since the world began. They can't possibly be the same thing. It's not possible. Okay? And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 16, 25. He's talking about that different body of information in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. I'm sorry, let me back up. But to him there is power to establish you by my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Two different bodies of information for two different entities for obedience. Now, we're to learn the whole Bible. We're to know everything that goes in it. We're to know Israel's program and our program. But we're to be obedient to Paul's gospel. We're to be obedient to Paul's gospel. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. And I need to be done with that verse. Sometimes you got to be done when you're not done, but that's the way it goes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, you were taught it by revelation. He made known unto me the mystery, as it wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God's not going to be speaking little things in your ears and all that. That's just a bunch of hogwash. That's just a bunch of nonsense. God only speaks when you read the King James Version Bible, okay? That's the only time that He speaks. The only time. When you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Now watch this. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise. And that's totally different than in time past. In time past, man, they were totally separate and they were different. Today, it's different today.
Amen.
We have a new apostle, different from the 12, with a different message, with a different gospel, and we're to be established totally different. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity just to come together with Your dear saints and just remind each other of what You're doing today and how to be established during the dispensation of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.